الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا ايها الذين امنوا اذا نودي للصلاه بيوم الجمعه فاسعوا الى ذكر الله وذروا البيع ذلكم خير لكم ان كنتم تعلمون قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اذا نعس احدكم يوم الجمعه فليتحول من محله او كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين الحمد لله رب العالمين respected ulama ikram brothers and elders in islam we have been discussing for the last few jumu'ahs fridays the significance of the day of jumu'ah and the special actions that are carried out those exclusive ibadat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has specified for the day of Jumu'ah. We had mentioned at length the details regarding the Jumu'ah Salat, that this is a special feature of this day. It holds a very special position. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the Surah, Surah Jumu'ah, instructing us specifically when a call is made to come to the masjid. We had also mentioned last week the serious warnings sounded in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding those people that neglect the Jumu'ah Salat, especially not for a valid reason, the Jumu'ah Salat is neglected, then we find that there were serious warnings given in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We also mentioned the importance of listening to the khutbah, that even the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the imam sits down and stands up for the khutbah, then they also close their books and the books of records, and they also listen to the khutbah. We also mentioned while listening to the khutbah, the person tells somebody who is speaking, unsit, keep quiet, and Rasulullah says that you have indulged in an action that is completely useless and futile. We also mentioned the great rewards in one riwayat of that person that makes wudu, tara wudu, and he sits and listens to the khutbah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives 10 days of his sins. From the last Friday to the previous Friday, from previous Friday to this Friday, and 3 additional days, just for listening to the khutbah. And we had mentioned that 2 words specifically I mentioned, istama'a wa ansata. To listen attentively and to remain absolutely quiet. That is why it is improper for a person when the khutbah is carrying on to be speaking, to speak. Even here we understand that even if he's speaking something that is good, telling that person to keep quiet, the next person, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells him that you have engage yourself in a futile action. Yet in another hadith that we had mentioned, man takallama yawm al-jum'ati wal imam yakhtub, whoever speaks on the day of Jumu'ah while the imam is giving the khutbah, fahuwa kamathal al-himari yahmilu asfara. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says he is like a donkey who has a load upon his backs. As a donkey who has a load, like a person who has a load of books. Donkey has a load of books. How will it benefit him? Won't benefit him because of his stupidity. That person that is sitting here while the khutbah is on, and he's sitting and discussing and talking while the khutbah is on, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Fahuwa kamathal al-himar." He is like a donkey who has a load of books on his back. And walladhi yaqulu lahu ansit, walladhi yaqulu ansit, the person that tells him, "Keep quiet," laysa lahu jumu'ah. What is his position and his status? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "There's no jumu'ah for him." Otherwise, there's no reward for the Jummah for him because he has spoken while the Jummah is carrying on. Now one may be wondering, or this question may come to mind, what is the status of the Jummah khutbah? What is the status of the Jummah khutbah? The ulama are unanimous that the Jummah khutbah is an ibadat. Jummah khutbah is an ibadat. Primarily, it is not only a lecture. If it was only a lecture, then there are many countries and many places where people do not understand the Arabic language and they've already heard the lecture. And why sit and listen to the Jummah khutbah? No, it forms an ibadat, forms an act of worship. And the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Many commentators say that what is meant by zikrullah is the ibadat, is the khutbah. So the khutbah is the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some ulama or many fuqaha kiram of the opinion that on the day of Jumu'ah, there is no zuhar salat. The Jumu'ah salat, so to say, is in place of the zuhar salat. And the 2 rakats, Zuhar Salat is 4 rakats, but the Jummah Salat is only 2 rakats. The other 2 rakats, so to say, the khutbah is in place of the other 2 rakats. That is why the orders pertaining to the khutbah is like orders pertaining to the salat. Person should not talk, should not speak, should not engage in those things that are useless, etc. So here we understand that it is not only a lecture primarily, it is an ibadat, and it is a zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why it is essential that it should be said in the Arabic language. It should be carried out in the Arabic language, and there is consensus regarding this as well. Here some places, in some quarters, in some countries, some people applying the reasoning mentioned, no, we should not say the khutbah in Arabic, but in some other languages. This actually is makruh tahrimi, which is close to haram and impermissible. If you look at the history of the companions of Rasulullah, Islam had expanded to many other countries out of the Arabian Peninsula after Rasulullah, and many countries were conquered. But yet we find, from the east to the west and from the north to the south, over the 14 centuries, nobody had attempted to give the khutbah in some other language, not in Urdu, not in Persian, not in other language. It was only given in the Arabic language. And this is the beauty of Islam. The beauty of Islam is the unification of our ibadat and to maintain the solidarity and unity in the hearts and minds of the Muslim. That is why you will see all acts of worship, the official dini language is the language of Arabic. That is why you will find all official ibadat officiated and carried out in the Arabic language. Whether a person is sitting in Germany, whether he's sitting in Russia, whether he's sitting in South Africa, or sitting in some Arabian country, or sitting in some African continent, any country there, the azan is called out in the Arabian language. Azan is called out in Arabic. When you meet a Muslim brother, wherever he is, in whatever part of the globe, he does not tell you peace upon you, he tells you assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The namaz is carried out in the Arabic language. All the postures of namaz, from one to the other, in the Arabic language. The zikr that is mentioned, the zikr that we are told to carry it out, is in the Arabic language. Whether it is Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. And similarly, we find the khutbah also is carried out in the Arabian language. And this, so to say, cements the brotherhood of Muslims. Cements the brotherhood and love and affection upon Muslims, the feeling of closeness, the feeling of familiarity, the feeling of being attached to the Muslim brotherhood is found and experienced by every mu'min in whatever part of the globe he goes. Nobody says that you are a German, why are you telling me assalamu alaikum? If you are from an African country, why are you saying me assalamu alaikum? No. It is mentioned one of the hidden philosophies here is to maintain that brotherhood and solidarity and unity in the Muslim ummah. That is why we find nobody feels estranged, nobody feels unfamiliar when he goes to any masjid of the world. When he's sitting there and azan is called out, does not feel estranged. Why? It is the same azan he hears in his muhalla. When he participates in the salat, it is the same salat, same words of the Quran Pak, and the same words of Arabic, and the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are carried out in salat. Similarly, in the du'as that are made also, we find that to make du'as in the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the words of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the words of the Holy Quran, though it is permissible to make such du'a also in other languages, but you will find that this is a common theme as far as our ibadat is concerned. So this is the importance of the Jummah khutbah, and there are many other conditions that are attached to the Jummah khutbah that you must have not even heard of, which are conditioned to show that it's not merely a lecture. That is why it is conditioned that the Jummah khutbah have to be said after the zawal. If it is said before zawal, then it is not valid. It has to be repeated. Similarly, it has to be said before the Jummah salat. If it is said after the Jummah salat, then the salat also has to be repeated and the khutbah also has to be repeated. Similarly, the Jummah Salat, the khutbah of the Jummah Salat, if it was only a lecture, then if there was only groups of ulama's present, then the khutbah would not be mentioned. But no, despite ulama being mentioned who know the Masail and who know the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet it is essential that the khutbah must be said. If there's such a great loud noise here, deafening noise here, then the khutbah cannot be heard. Even in those circumstances, the khutbah must be said and the khutbah must be recited. All this is to indicate, to show that the khutbah is a special ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not merely a lecture. And obviously there are other etiquettes also. Persons should face the congregation when saying the khutbah. He should be standing when saying the khutbah. Should be fully dressed when saying the khutbah. And should not only be dressed that amount which is absolutely necessary in Islam. No, he should be fully dressed when he's saying the khutbah as well. Otherwise, all these are conditions to show that the khutbah is a special ibadat. A special ibadat and a special feature of the day of Jumu'ah. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned the Quran, the importance of the salat, and also of the khutbah, fas'u ala dhikrillah, and the importance of listening to the khutbah has been highlighted before you in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now there are many other actions of the day of Jumu'ah, But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the day of Jummah such a Mubarak day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases the rewards, multiplies it and multiplies it and multiplies it. It is for us, Allah ta'ala, give us the tawfiq and hidayat and the guidance to take from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a prerogative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His right. Whomsoever He wishes, He gives virtue. Whichever place He wishes, He gives virtue. Whichever day He wishes, He gives virtue. Like the day of Ashura has just passed, a day of virtue. Person fasting for one day gets the reward of 1 year of fasting. Similarly, a person on that day spends on his children, wife and children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is generous upon him throughout the entire year. This is the virtue of that day. So what is the virtue of this? Six actions that I mentioned, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, absolutely simple actions, absolutely easy actions to carry out. And the reward of them is so enormous that Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah alayhi, a great muhaddith, says that there is no other hadith in the collection of ahadith that contains so much virtues. There's no other hadith of virtue in the whole collection of ahadith that contains so much virtue like this hadith. The hadith that is mentioned here regarding the actions of the day of Jumu'ah. And this hadith is so significant that it's mentioned in the four authentic books. From the six authentic books of hadith, it's mentioned in the four authentic books of hadith, Tirmizi Sharif, Nisa'i Sharif, Ibn Majah, and Abu Dawud Sharif. In these four authentic kitabs of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this hadith is mentioned. And what is the reward of that hadith? What is the reward of those actions? Before coming to the actions, as I mentioned, are absolutely simple. But what is the reward? The reward is, لَهُ بِكُلِّ خُطْوَةٍ عَمَلُ سَنَةٍ أَجْرُ سِيَامِهَا وَقِيَامِهَا أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صلى الله عليه وسلم. For every single step a person takes while coming for the Jummah Salat, if he carries out the six actions, then for every single step he takes, he gets the reward of actions equivalent to 1 year. أَجْرُ سِيَامِهَا وَقِيَامِهَا. The reward of fasting for the entire year, for every step, and then reward of standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ibadat for the entire year. For every single step that he takes, this is the reward that he gets. And I showed you that these ahadith are mentioned in four authentic books of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And muhaddithin mentioned that there's no other hadith that has this amount of virtue like this hadith. For every single step. In other words, if a person takes 100 steps when coming for the Jummah Salat, he gets the reward of 100 years of ibadat, 100 years of fasting, and 100 years of standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and making ibadat. And if it's 200, 200, and if it's 50, it is 50. Otherwise, the amount of steps that he takes, for every step, he gets the reward of 1 year of ibadat. And what are those actions? There are such actions that are so simple that some of the actions that we already carry out, every single one of us carries out those actions. The first action that is mentioned in the hadith, man ghassala wa ghtasala, the person that has a tarah bath on the day of Jumu'ah, has a tarah bath and cleanses themselves properly and takes a bath on the day of Jumu'ah. The separate issue whether the bath is wajib, whether the bath is sunnah, but here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that person that cleanses themselves and takes a bath. And alhamdulillah, we find nearly every single home, every single person takes a bath on the day of Jumu'ah and cleanses himself thoroughly on the day of Jumu'ah, unwanted hair taken out, etc. In some riwayats, it's also mentioned that on the day of Jummah, that is the day of Eid, you should also use perfume and khushbu and itar on the day of Eid, on this day. Wa alaykum bis siwak, you should also use the miswak, etc. Some riwayats understand you should also put some oil, should apply oil also on this day. In other words, dress up properly, have a bath, and here Rasulullah says the first action day is the person that has a tarah bath on the day of Jummah. Second action, Rasulullah says, wa bakkara wa btakara. The person that comes early to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes early for the Jummah Salat to show to one and all that this Jummah Salat has special virtue and the khutbah has a special virtue. In the light of this hadith, you will understand how virtuous this is. If our conduct is proper and if our conduct is right in accordance with the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then this is the enormous reward we stand to get in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second action, as I mentioned, the first action was taking a ghusl, which every one of us takes, alhamdulillah. Ghusl thoroughly and cleanse ourselves properly. The second action is to come early to the masjid. Coming early to the masjid means to come before the second azan that takes place. To come before the second azan that takes place. Obviously, it's much more preferable if a person comes even before the first azan to the masjid. And he comes even before that, it's even more preferable that a person comes more earlier to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the special salat. And as we have mentioned previously, it is actually the love or the iman or the value and appreciation that we have in the heart, that is how diligently we will make efforts to come early. We know for our worldly engagements how early we go. When it's invitation, how early we go. When it's the appointment with the doctors, how early we go. When we have to meet the lawyers, how early we go. We're going here to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to carry out a special ibadat. So as I mentioned previously also, mashallah, we find that especially the elderly folk, Allah ta'ala give us also tawfiq, we find them early in the masjids, in the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right up to this day. Go to any masjid, you will find most of the people that are there early are those people that are elderly, showing that the true value and understanding they have for the value of this great day of Jumu'ah and the Jumu'ah Salah. So to come early to the masjid is the second action that is mentioned here in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The third action that is mentioned, وَمَشَى وَلَمْ يَرْكَبْ. The person walks and he does not take the conveyance. This is the ideal situation to walk from our homes and to come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But sometimes, due to our engagements and our commitments, it may not be possible for a person to walk from the home to come to the house because of the long distances. That is why some of them are of the opinion that even if he parks his car a little distance away and takes a walk and walks, the footsteps that he will take towards the masjid, this will all be included here in the walk that he's taking. After all, he is walking to the masjid. However, as I mentioned, the ideal is a person walks from where he resides. I recollect this when this hadith was mentioned in America. There was a person with his 60-year-old father and his uncle that used to walk six long miles from his home to come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because of the virtue of this hadith, every step used to get the reward of 1 year. To get the reward of 1 year for every step, 1 year of ibadat for every step, he used to take a walk from 6 miles. Look at the level of iman, look at the level of love, look at the level of appreciation for this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and look at the quest for sawab and acceptance and earning good deeds in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that a person, as I mentioned, he, his uncle and his father, an uncle of 60 years, should walk 6 miles from his house to come to the masjid on a Jumu'ah day in order to get the salat. Similarly, there was a dentist from Egyptian origin. His little son was maybe about 5 or 6 years old. He used to tell his father, park the car far away from the parking lot so that we can gain more footsteps when you come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Jumu'ah. Even a little boy of 6 years understands that the more steps I take to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for every step I will get this reward. After hearing this, he should say, park your car far away. And we all know when the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam should come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they used to take very short steps. Because of the reward a person gets when coming from ordinary salat, for every step that he takes, one sin is forgiven, and one reward he gets, and one status is elevated for every step that he takes. They were so conscious about this action in order to gain more reward and to gain more sawab, they used to do this. So here a person comes walking to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the third action that is mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as I mentioned, all of us walk from a parking. Nobody, some say what is meant here, what is implied is person should not be carried into the masjid like it was the norm that time of very haughty people and proud people of rulers and emperors, etc. They used to be carried into the house of Allah. What is meant here is not carried, he's walking. But as I mentioned, the ideal is if a person walks from his very home. However, in essence, all of us do walk and come walking into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala include us in the reward here. This is the third action that is carried out, which is also carried out by all of us. The fourth action is something that needs a great amount of attention. And that is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, وَدَنَا مِنَ الْإِمَامِ. And he goes close to the imam. He goes, enters the masjid, he comes close to the imam. And the closest to the imam is the first saf. And this is the etiquette of entering the masjid. Even if the masjid is absolutely empty, a person should enter the masjid and come sit down in the first saf. Great Buzurgan Adeen like Haji Farooq Sahib Rahmatullah used to emphasize, Mona Abraul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah used to emphasize this also, that even if you come into an empty masjid, Allah Ta'ala has given a special status to the first saf. You should come and sit down in the first saf, you will get additional reward. It's mentioned once there was a masjid, and thereafter, when they had come to the masjid, Mona Abraul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah mentioned to those people that had began to sit at the back that you are doing a great injustice to yourself and harm to yourself by not coming and sitting in the first saf. You are sitting at the back and depriving yourself of free reward. That is why especially those people that come early to the masjid should make this a habit that we sit in the first saf. Some people contend that, I don't want to express myself as a very pious person. If I sit in the first saf, people will say, I'm very pious, etc. So I'm keeping my piety in my heart, I'm sitting in the back saf. This is not proper. Piety is in its place, piety in the heart, Allah Ta'ala knows, taqwa is the heart, the place of taqwa is in the heart, but this is the etiquette shown to us to come and sit in the first saf. And what is the value of the first saf? What is the difference if a person sits what is the etiquette first of sitting in, and what is the discipline of filling up the masjid is to sit directly behind the imam. Directly behind the imam In reality, this is not reserved for the muazzin. This has become a custom. There are many things that have become customs now and practices. We feel it is a law and it's binding. For example, two nights ago, it was the night of Laylatul Ashura. But we find no virtue of Laylatul Ashura in any hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, you find the value of Yawmul Ashura, but Laylatul Ashura, the night of Ashura, is a very virtuous night, etc., is not found. That is not a big night. But if you ask anybody and tell them not a big night, they'll scratch their heads. For 50 years, 60 years, we all regard it as a very big night, a very virtuous night. But there's no way in the hadith that shows us that it's a virtuous night. The day is virtuous. Yes, Allah Ta'ala has made the day virtuous. But it has become customary, and it has become sometimes the order of the place that if a person, there's no bayan in that night, it's like a junai kabira. It's a very great sin. There was no bayan in the masjid. Bayan does not mean it's a big night. If the bayan is a big night, does not mean there must be a bayan. Also, a big night means a person values that night and engages in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why we're digressing a little. Today, the concept of a big night is you come to the masjid, you sit for the bayan if you have the feeling, or at least you just come for the Isha namaz, you go home and sleep. And if you sit for the Isha namaz and you heard the bayan, mashallah, you have fulfilled the rites of the big night, you go home now and sleep. That night wherein the mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are raining from dawn, from the time of dusk till the time of Subah Sadiq, the calls are made from the eyesight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person comes here, listens to the bayan, goes home and sleeps away, he feels he has fulfilled the rite of this night. So no, here we find that the place here, the best place in the masjid is behind the imam. And thereafter on the right hand side, the etiquette is to fill the masjid on the right hand side, and thereafter on the left hand side, and thereafter the other serfs. Otherwise, when you come into the masjid and those serfs are empty, we do not sit at the back, we do not sit against the wall, we do not sit in the last serf, we do not sit in the second last serf, we come to the front serf. And this is the etiquette of filling in the masjid. And here, especially for those people that want this reward, they mentioned on Friday, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, imam. You should come close to the imam, meaning come to the first serf, or those serfs after the first serf where you find place, come as close as possible to the imam. This is not what the imam is saying. What the Imamul Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, that you come as close as possible to the imam. Inshallah, we'll continue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. These are points of rectification. This is not something against any particular individual or any particular people. This is something that we are all learning. And we should make islah for ourselves. We are not doing it. Let us implement it in our lives and come close to the imam. Whatever masjid we go, follow the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen.